Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. This is the number one daily radio show for realtors looking for a no BS, authentic, real-time coaching experience. What's really working in today's market, how to generate more leads, make more money, and have more time for what you love in your life. And now your hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
Welcome back. This is going to be a topic that is a result of a lot of you asking us the same question. And yes, we read all of your messages, whether you're posting a question during the Premier Coaching Session, whether you're texting me directly a question, or whether you're posting on Instagram, it does not matter where. We are definitely reading all the questions you guys have about this market. And one of the top questions is definitely, how can I actually find a house for my buyer? And what we're going to be doing over the next couple days is we're really going to be drilling down on primarily all the non-MLS places you can go to find inventory for your buyers. And I want you to pay attention to this for really two main reasons. Well, three main reasons. One, you want to obviously help your buyer find a house. Two is you're going to have to basically know other places other than the MLS to search for homes. I was just on the MLS prior to actually realtor.com prior to today's podcast looking at homes for sale in our markets where Julie and I have rental properties. And there really is very, very little for sale. There's no doubt about that. And I get your frustration. So you're going to have to learn how to look for homes that are not in the MLS that are for sale. And number three, and this is a big one, and I know some of you are underestimating the importance of this. As of, you know, the end of this year, buyer agents are going to have to start proving their value to their prospective buyers, as sellers have had been doing for, you know, years, because you're going to have to ask for exclusive buyer agency contracts to be signed. You're going to have to show your value to the buyer in the same way, frankly, that listing agents have been having to prove their value to the sellers, their prospective sellers, for, you know, ever. So the days of the buyer agent just getting in a commission just because they opened the door, those days are over. Now you're going to have to actually compete and win for that buyer business. And guess what? The roadmap that we're going to be giving you on today's podcast is going to be a great source of inspiration for all of you who want to, you know, have a plan to show to your prospective buyers why they want to work with you, because you're going above and beyond just looking in the MLS. But before we get to our first point, Julie received an email from one of her coaching clients, actually, that we wanted to read to you. And this is a reaction to a podcast that we did last week.
Yes, and I'm going to do this anonymously, but just to first celebrate, you'll know who you are when I say this. They had a $2 million in volume April with three transactions. They're very excited, and they were all on the buyer side because they're good at what we talk about on today's podcast. But he writes about a mindset comment. He says, I've got to tell you and Tim that a comment on one of your recent podcasts has made a huge difference for me. I eliminated all social media except for the podcast, and I'm embarrassed how big an impact it has had on me. I thought I was in control of my time, but clearly was not. Very humbling. So thank you for writing that, and kudos to you for taking action, not just saying, hey, that was a great thought, but doing something about it.
Well, you and I were talking about this morning when we were walking. We were talking about the fact that it does seem like we're kind of at peak social media.
Yeah.
People have kind of figured out what it is and mostly what it isn't, and kind of, you know, got to a point where there is definitely a lot of, I think, burnout on social media, because a lot of it is so, I don't know any other word for it other than just, you know, fake. And the fakery is going to get worse with AI. So people are going to start leaning in towards things where they have a high level of confidence in the information that they're consuming. And I think really that is going to make podcasts somewhat of sacred ground for, you know, essentially content disseminators that actually have something worth listening to.
Yes, absolutely. You can certainly curate what goes in between your ears on a daily, almost hourly basis. So,
and you can also, the nice thing about podcasts, we talked about this last week too, you know, we're kind of beating our own drum here, but the reality of it is you can fake being, you know, essentially an influencer on all social platforms. You can buy views and subscribers on YouTube, on Facebook, on Instagram. I think all of you know that, right? It's all kind of fake. And, you know, most of the people who you think to be big influencers are spending a lot of money buying what appears to be their, you know, followers and all the rest of it. So just assume that's true. But where you can't fake it, the only place you can't fake it is on is with podcasts, because you cannot buy you know, listens and downloads, and the market is ultimately going to be the thing that sorts you out as to whether or not your content is worth consuming. And we do take a lot of, frankly, pride, and we're very grateful for the fact that you guys keep this the number one daily downloaded podcast for real estate agents in at least the United States. And that means a lot to us. And so every podcast we put together, we create a bunch of notes. And those notes we used to be able to put in the show descriptions. But unfortunately, the show descriptions themselves are limited for space. So if you want the notes for today's podcast and all of our podcasts, you have to subscribe to our daily newsletter. Don't worry, it's free. And it's just harrisrealestatedaily.com, harrisrealestatedaily.com. And when you do, you will get not only of all of our show notes, but you're also going to get some exclusive content. We're going to start releasing that probably in 3 or 4 weeks. I have dozens of interviews that I've been working on every Friday, and we're going to start publishing those. Subscribers to the newsletter are going to receive them first, and then we're going to release them to the wilds thereafter. But again, there's no reason for you not to subscribe now to harrisrealestatedaily.com. It's going to give you a lot of information that's going to be exclusive to newsletter subscribers, but also it's going to reinforce the direction that hopefully all of you guys are going, which is being, you know, the best version of yourself as a real estate professional.
So today's topic is for all of you. 100% of our listeners are affected by this topic, and that is the following. Where is all of the inventory? Now, yes, inventory is growing, but it's also selling off nearly immediately, to your point when you were on realtor.com this morning. And much of the inventory is also in Texas and Florida. So when you see national stats, it's heavily, heavily weighted. I know Austin's gone from about 3,300 to 4,100 recently. So it might not be happening in your backyard. There are buyers who are all cash, loan committed, or at least pre-approved, anxiously waiting for you to get them what they want ASAP. I know Patrick Murphy in Columbus, Ohio, has over 20 active clients, and I think at least 15 of them are buyers who are either all cash, big down payments, pre-approved, or loan committed.
And he was putting out some videos of, I think, somewhat getting to the heart of our sellers wanted idea that we have. He was doing little short videos around that. But you mentioned inventory. I was talking to Russ in Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
In Texas.
Phillips.
Russ Phillips, yeah, great agent. And we had him as our listing agent when we moved out of Austin. In any event, so he is telling me that the homes there are off their peak values of post-pandemic, you know, pricing. And I didn't find that particularly surprising, but it does create kind of an interesting paradigm. In his market, there could hypothetically be sellers that are actually underwater on their mortgages, which is kind of a strange thing to consider. If someone bought at the peak, you know, they could vary, and if they didn't put down a big down payment. You know, so there has been some leveling off on these hyper hot markets around the country.
That's true. Sure. But to keep it in perspective, because I watched the Austin stats, it has gone from a fairly consistent, I'd say consistent over the past 2 to 2.5 years, of an average sale price in Austin of about 700,000, almost exactly 700,000. And yes, we have longer days on the market and more inventory, and that has caused the average to be now, I believe it is 680.
Yeah.
So it's come down by 20 grand on average, right, which is real money if you're upside down, for sure. But keeping it in perspective.
The point I was trying to make with Russ is that this is going to this will create some expired listing opportunity in markets like his, because there are going to be agents that do not price the houses correctly. Right now, they're overpricing them, that they, you know, don't then get the sellers to reposition the houses on the market, aka lower the price. And going into late summer, early fall, there will be a lot of expired listings. It's inevitable. So if you're wondering where you should be focusing your, you know, skill set, it is definitely becoming a very powerful expired listing agent. Something you definitely want to keep in mind. We focus on that a lot in Premier Coaching. If you're not a member of Premier Coaching, you know what to do. Scroll down below, click the link to join Premier Coaching, or just go to premiercoaching.com. Get ready for the market that's going to come, and the market that's going to be created is the market that only skills-based agents are going to be able to make the most of. At the end of this year, there are going to be more expireds. At the end of this year, there are going to be fewer buyer agents that know how to essentially sell their prospective buyers into exclusives. At the end of this year, the rubber's going to meet the road. There's going to be a massive bifurcation in the real estate industry amongst real estate professionals, those that have the skills and those that don't. You're listening to this podcast, so you want to have the skills. If you want to get, you know, frankly, get an unfair advantage in the marketplace, take it to the next level. Have your buyer presentation done now. Don't wait till the end of the year. Don't wait to find out what we've been telling you for years, by the way, about the nature of the market, you know, where it's necessitating exclusives, exclusive buyer agency contracts. Juliet had been predicting that for years and years that was going to happen. So it's now. And so where's your buyer presentation? Where's your skill set? You know what to do. Join Premier Coaching. Go to premiercoaching.com or scroll down below to click the link below. You can join Premier Coaching now for free. You get 30 days of free access to Premier Coaching. You won't believe the content, all the scripts and all the plans and everything else we're giving you when you join Premier Coaching. And yes, you do receive a daily semi-private coaching call. So go to premiercoaching.com or scroll down below and click the link to join. No more commercials on today's podcast.
There you go. All right. Now, we have established that you need two things. Number one, to get your buyers in contract. And number two, to get more listings for your own inventory. In this two-part podcast series, we are going to show you how to accomplish both of those things. Today is part one. Before we get to the secret sources and strategies, here are some thoughts to consider. Number one, mindset thoughts, right? Number one, how well do you actually know what your buyers are looking for? Are they or you being too specific or overly obsessed with certain areas, amenities, or schools? It may be time to discuss having some flexibility. So know your buyer clients must have versus would be nice to have criteria. And number two, stop relying only on your MLS. This is one method. It's probably your go-to method, but it is no longer the method.
Let's go back to your first point, Julie.
Sure.
So for example, this is a skills thing. When a buyer says to you they want a 3-acre or 5-acre lot, you don't just write it down and just look for that. Ask them why. And they're going to tell you because they want privacy. And then you're going to say, this is all the types of things we teach you in Premier Coaching. Well, so if it's privacy you're after, if I could find a lot that was, say, maybe only a 1/2 acre or a 1/4 acre, but it had great privacy, was situated in the neighborhood so that you didn't really feel like you had any neighbors around you, would that check the boxes for you? You'll be shocked how frequently they say yes, because then all you have to do is subtly remind them how much of a pain in the ass having a big parcel is. And Do you want to spend all your nights and weekends basically being Bob the Farmer taking after your land? You guys get it? Sometimes that'll be what they want to do. But in most cases, they hadn't thought it through. But if you're an inexperienced buyer's agent and you just wrote down 5 acres only, you're never going to find them anything.
No.
And they're never going to buy from you. They're going to buy from somebody else. So you have to learn the skill sets. And along the lines of what Julie just said, you got to listen to what the buyer said. You got to write them down, but then you got to ask them questions about, I have to be in, Ames School District thinking about, Austin. Okay, well, why is, ask them questions. So what about Ames in particular? And they might say, well, I have an LD kid and the kid needs to have a special program that only Ames offers. Okay, that makes sense. But if they're saying, well, I'm looking for this, this, and the other, it might be that the next neighborhood over is, or next community over has the same, level of schools. Or here's another mind bender for you. Maybe the property taxes they'll pay to be in the Ames School District if they're in Austin. If they were to move to a school district outside of Austin, they could then take the money that they would have been paying in property taxes and put it towards sending their kids to private schools. So you guys got to think out of the box to find more inventory of homes for sale.
Yes. And in fact, this is such an important point that I spun this off not too long ago into its own dedicated how to properly mine your MLS and how to dig down deeper. Like what you were just saying is dig deeper. Don't take it at face value. Do they want 5 acres because they want privacy, or do they need 5 acres because they have too many cows that they, need to keep like we did? So dig down deeper. The next point was don't just use your MLS. We're going to get into that in a second. So homework, after you listen to today's podcast, commit to following these strategies for every qualified and motivated buyer, especially those who also have listings to sell, or simply refer them to an agent who will do a better job for them. It's not fair for buyers to not be in contract simply because you haven't been strategic enough to find them something. A little bit of accountability nudge there. So the goal of the following strategies is to A, find off-market homes for you to list, and B, find off-market homes to sell to your buyers so they no longer lose out to competition. If you want to stop competing and losing, you must find homes that they are unlikely to compete on.
Or most likely are unlikely to find themselves when they're looking in the MLS. Yeah. If all you're doing is looking at the same online inventory that your prospective buyers are looking for, you have no value, and they're not going to want to work with you, especially if they're competing. If you're competing against one of our Premier Coaching clients,
that's right. And in fact, just to throw salt on that wound, if that's what you're doing, you're just looking at whatever your buyer can find on by themselves. You're basically validating what some of the points for the commission lawsuit was. Oh, they can find property on Zillow. What do they need you for? Don't make that a true thing. All right, so you're going to have 20 strategies to find off-market or hidden listings in your MLS. And we're going to do 6 of them today. So point number one, get more creative with your MLS searches. We just talked about that, but here are some strategies. If your buyers keep losing out to multiple bids for whatever reason, maybe they're FHA and they're losing because of that, search your MLS using the same criteria, but for homes that have been on the market for more than 60 days, more than 90 days, etc. They probably won't be competing for those homes. Maybe they would consider a duplex in the same area, especially if it provides income for them. Have you had those conversations?
And also search for homes that have been withdrawn and expired over the past 12 months, which is Julie's upcoming point.
Yes. Number two, expand the search for the, it's coming up. Sorry. Yes, that is true. Expand the search for your buyers geographically. If they say they want these three zip codes in Austin, for example, identify why those zip codes and find other areas that have more inventory but feel similar to those zips. Same school districts, amenities, etc. Maybe they just like the neighborhood park in that neighborhood, but there's a better one 10 miles away. Again, it gets down to knowing your client. And number three, connect with investors like the We Pay Cash for Homes guys or the We Buy Ugly Houses. You see those billboards around town, the bandit signs. Those investors don't purchase every home that they've been presented with. What happens to their turndowns? These might make good matches for your buyers or even for you to flip and turn into a rental. Find investor groups at meetup.com or start your own. There's also a lot of them on Facebook, private groups on Facebook for investors in your town. And I can tell you, one of our longtime coaching clients, the Kenmores, they tend to find their flips because they specifically prospect the We Pay Cash for Homes guys. Because, you know, those investors, these are just small investors. They get calls all the time, and maybe they've already got three houses that they're working on, and they turned everything down
for
that.
Well, what a lot of them are that are running those signs is they're basic wholesalers. So they'll find a listing where someone's willing to sell the house at X percent, and then they try to then flip the house to a prospective flipper. So they're just middlemen anyway. So if they find a house that's, you know, priced correctly, that, you know, or anyway, they'll be a great source where the investor types have turned them down. But Julie, do we have notes in here, maybe today or tomorrow, where we're really going to drill down on the importance of really being careful of the buyers you choose to work with?
I think that might be a separate podcast, but we can certainly make it a bonus point.
Well, we can do it. Let's do it on tomorrow's podcast, because that really is where the rubber meets the road.
That's very true.
Because if you're not fully pre-qualifying your buyers and your buyers aren't meeting certain minimum standards, which we'll share with you guys tomorrow, then you're going to be wasting your time like you can't possibly believe. But yeah, we'll drill down on that tomorrow. You know what? You should do that on the following day.
Deal. Remind me.
Yeah, okay. I will.
All right, number four, one of my favorites, new build sales reps. They can be a gold mine, especially in medium and luxury new construction communities. They don't take resale listings typically, and they won't take a home sale contingency, but they do know about people who have homes to sell. They know who's got a home to sell before they can close on the new one that they're building. If they're licensed, you can pay them a referral fee, and if they're not, you can give them gift cards, bring them treats, aim for at least five relationships like that.
So I'm going to give you guys a real-life example. Julie and I are standing outside of the gym. I'm going to give you real numbers, and just before I tell you the real numbers, I want you guys to remember that Julie and I are just a couple poor kids from Central Ohio, okay? So we're standing outside of the gym the other day, and we make there's a guy that we sort of recognize, and we introduce ourselves, and we make quick friends with him. And he mentioned that he lives over in a neighborhood near ours, and he was very excited because he just went into contract on this oceanfront, villa, right? Everything's called a villa in Puerto Rico. Nothing's called a house. Well, this is going to be at least a $14, maybe $16 million purchase. Well, good for him. Now, he's buying it directly from the developer because the buyer that was originally in contract on it backed out. But here's what he said, and Julie and I don't sell real estate here, but it was an interesting thing that you should definitely be passing on to your coaching client, Julie Harris, who has one right in her neighborhood. You should write that down, by the way. Anyway, he has a house that he wants to sell that's probably going to be worth about $7 or $8 million, and it's not actually for sale, and I happen to know for a fact that there's a lot of people that are looking in this particular area. Why am I telling you all that? Because we obviously ran into this guy, and here's, you know, he's involved. He's going to be listing his home soon. Had we been working with, and again, we don't sell real estate, and we don't sell real estate here, but we do give out lots of referrals. Have we been working with the new build rep who we know, her name's Vanessa, very nice gal.
Yep.
We probably would have been tipped off to that opportunity, or at the very least, we would have been given the opportunity, not necessarily to list it, but they would have said, we have a listing coming up in XYZ neighborhood, and if you have any prospective buyers. So maybe we don't have an opportunity to get the listing. Maybe they want to keep it internal, but most likely they'd be more than happy to share with us the actual facts about the house coming for sale, to which then we could have love matched it to one of our buyers.
Exactly. You've got to follow the breadcrumbs. And that was from one, maybe a 10-minute conversation in passing at the gym where you were anyway. You know, this is not like pounding the phones for 2 hours to find that little morsel. You guys just have to not be secret agents.
It is pretty funny too. I mentioned this, so I'll mention it even more. I don't know. Does Carla listen to the podcast?
Yes, she does.
Okay. Well, Carla, I'm talking.
She likes to be anonymous.
Okay. Well, I didn't say her last name.
Okay, good.
Okay. So yeah, Julie basically has been bird dogging just from all of our social networking.
It's fun for us.
Generating leads for Julie's local coaching client. That, I have to say, she's probably going to get the best value from having you as a coach in the history of man. So, yes. I mean, there it is. So Carla, Julie's got another great listing lead for you, or at the very least,
a
prospective buyer. So make sure you chase her down for that.
Exactly. But that's a good example. What got us on that tangent was talking about these new build wraps and matching, you know, the new construction versus the resale. And most new construction, new build wraps do not do anything on the resale listing side of things. But they do have people come in their office all the time, that especially as you go up market, because, you know, like the guy you were talking about, that's definitely not his first house. He has something to sell, and all the line going up, right? So I know Coach Rochelle is very good at this. She talks about it on Premier Coaching, about how she has been able to network with the local build reps. She's friends with all of them. She brings them cookies. They not only shoot the resale business to her, but they also keep her up to speed on any new construction that falls apart and becomes an inventory house. That's an already built, in most cases, new construction home that doesn't have a contract on it, that's not in the MLS. Great opportunity.
New construction, without a doubt, is going to be one of the greatest sources of business for agents to know actually how to get it. And it's really not that complicated, honestly.
It's not.
Right. And, you know, we talk a lot about that in Premier Coaching. Obviously, I've done a lot of past podcasts on it. I'd say new construction should be everyone's best friend for at least the next 10 years.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what is it? 33% of recent sale, or 33% of what's actively available on the market is new construction right now nationwide. So that's, you know, that's a third of the inventory.
But you
right
just
there.
Said something interesting, and you and I really do need to figure this out. I think what we've been saying is accurate, but it may have changed. MLS inventory. I know that they're projecting there's going to be an additional million homes for that are going to sell, that are going to obviously have sold through the MLS. But does that include all new construction?
It definitely does not include all new construction. That varies very greatly from MLS to MLS. So, for example, you know, our rentals are in Columbus. I've got coaching clients in Columbus, so I watch that pretty closely. When you go through different zip codes, you'll see like one builder will have decided, either they do it themselves or they do it through an agent, to put all of their new construction in the MLS. That's why when you log in, you might see like the same street name over and over with a different address.
Level off there, because Julie just gave you guys a little suggestion. If there's a builder in your marketplace and they want to put things in the MLS, well, I'll tell you this, the number one broker in the United States, if I remember correctly, he's based out of Dallas or Houston, and he's been the number one real estate broker, according to NAR, for like ever, okay? And what does he do? Exactly what Julie just said. He goes to the builders. Who knows what he's charging the builders to put the houses in the MLS and on his website? And then can you imagine the buyer business he gets off having all those literally probably thousands of listings? So if you're in a marketplace right now where there's a builder who wants to, you know, I had coaching clients that have had situations with builders where the builder's wife or whatever has a real estate license, and you know, they've been giving all the business to that, you know, that person that they know, and as soon as the agent shows up, what they'll do is they'll, you know, split the baby, basically. The you know, maybe that in-house you know, or their wife or whatever still gets some listings, but then the builder's more than willing to give listings to an outside agent, provided that outside agent is showing effort in actually bringing buyers or prospective buyers to that builder. And so there's lots of ways to approach the conversations with builders. When Julie and I were selling on the upper end markets, you know, in New Albany, Ohio, that's what we would do. We would bring buyers to these upper end builders, relo buyers mostly. And for the most part, we obviously, if the buyer wanted the house, you know, great, it was easy. But sometimes the buyer was trying to make a decision, you know, a little bit between resale and new construction or whatever. And it was very normal for the builders to promise the next spec listing they had to whatever agent brought the buyer. And so that was a nice little incentive that the buyer, that the builder was smart enough to give to the agent. Well, when Julie and I started selling, we would list subdivisions sometimes. We listed a subdivision of 71 condos. And we got the 71 condos because that builder had listed these other houses, three other luxury homes. We sold them all, and they, you know, listed those others with us. So the relationships you get from new construction are never ending. Builders always build no matter what the market is because they have no plan B, which, you know, once you get on, you could actually build a business around specifically being a new construction expert in virtually any market in the country.
You absolutely can, and you'll know things that the average agent doesn't know, too. So that's a nice advantage right there.
Well, let me finish just because I'm on a bit of a – so if you have a parcel of land that might be good for development or you – whatever, right? Or maybe even a flipper, you take that land. Say it's a 10-acre parcel and someone could build hypothetically like six houses there or whatever. Take the land to a prospective developer, builder, and say, listen, this land, here it is. I'll sell it to you, but when you put homes on it, you put lots on it, I want to get the listings. And if then you basically can keep on doing that conversation and move it forward. There are a lot of major brokerages, really, I would say mostly medium-sized brokerages, that have done extremely well over the years, helping to identify parcels of land. One of our friends that is in Houston, he's made huge amounts of money doing this. He'll identify a parcel of land that could be redeveloped into condos. He'll go and put it in contract. He'll then find a developer that wants to develop it. He'll introduce the developer to the land. In exchange, the developer's already pre-agreed to basically list the product with him once it's built. Those types of things. Think bigger.
Yeah, well, that's right. And we have, I think there's a 2 or 3 part podcast series that spins up everything you're talking about with the new construction. It's hard to do. This is kind of a spin-off bonus point today, but we do have dedicated podcasts, and we have part of Premier Coaching.
We're also talking about how to create your own inventory, and these are ideas that are just, there's
hope
no
you're paying attention.
There's real no shortage of inventory. There's a shortage of homes in the MLS that are for sale, but there's not really. Remember, we told you at the start there's going to be over 5 million to 5.3 million homes that are going to sell this year, not including new construction. There's really not a true shortage of homes for sale. There's a shortage of agents that know how to find the actual inventory of homes for sale if they're not in the MLS.
Yes, exactly. And a lot of you guys are sick of competing, so that's another solution to the competition problem. All right, let's see. Final point for today, and then we're going to continue this tomorrow. Number 6, for rent by owners of single family homes, duplexes, that sort of thing. They advertise their phone number. You guys like to whine and complain about, I can't find any phone numbers. They're advertising their phone number for rent by owners. The script is super simple. It's a business-oriented script. They're a great resource for your wayward sellers who have sold but not yet bought. I get calls. You get calls like that all the time on our rentals.
Oh yeah,
because our phone number is out there
constantly.
When it's for rent.
Well, we get a lot of texts, is what we get. Yeah. But also VRBOs too.
Yes, VRBOs. I think that's a prequel for tomorrow, possibly. But VRBOs count as for rent by owners on some level. The cool thing about the VRBOs, which would be HomeAway.com, VRBO, and what's the other one? There's a third one that all sounds the same. You can get into their calendar and you can see, and the great ones are like, if they've been vacant for 3 months, nobody's renting them, maybe that's a good time to strike while the iron's hot. If you're tired of trying to rent it, would you consider selling it? It's a simple business script.
Well, think about it. So after, during, low interest rate, COVID environment, how many people were buying, vacation properties thinking that they would just rent them out? Tons. There are 6.5 million transactions in 2021 or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of that were homes that would have been, they're coastal properties. There are condos in parts of Florida and all the rest of it.
And B-market stuff.
Exactly. And so the market's oversaturated with short-term rentals. Now, how many of those people would love to get out of those? Because the math's not making sense. Maybe, maybe they didn't pay cash. Maybe they do have a mortgage on it. Now they're having to write a check every month to keep the payments up because it's not short-term renting. The cash flow doesn't work. Call those people. Tell them they probably don't know what it's worth. Offer them a graceful exit from their ill-informed purchase they did during COVID, and you'll be really surprised how many of them will happily list with you, and you'll have no competition when getting those listings.
That's true. It's interesting you mentioned that. I've had several coaching clients mention to me in the past couple of weeks that one of the common conversations they're having now is with potential sellers who are deciding if they really want to keep the house they bought during COVID, or if they want to keep it and turn it into a rental, or if they want to cash out of it, because they've built up enough equity. But here's the thing. The comment is that they thought that they moved so fast. They were anxious to get a house while rates were so low, and they think they made a mistake. Isn't that interesting?
Well, so where do those folks go? I think a lot of those people are going to be keeping those properties if they can cash flow, which would be very easy to do, because since, you know, the home values have gone up in many markets by 50%, and if someone's locked into a 3% interest rate,
if they can swing it, they're probably going to keep it.
They're going to keep it, and, you know, they're sitting on a mountain of equity, and frankly, they could probably borrow against it to buy their next home. Or refinance it. Well, they wouldn't want to refinance it, but they could borrow against it and have the, you know, the tenant pay for the, you know, make the, easily cover the mortgage payments, all these types of things. So anyway, do definitely check out the VRBO market and all the other things we suggested to all of you guys. So if you want today's notes and tomorrow's notes, make sure you subscribe to HarrisRealEstateDaily.com, HarrisRealEstateDaily.com. And your homework from today's podcast, as it is from every podcast, is make sure you have joined Premier Coaching. If you're in Premier Coaching, make sure you're attending your daily semi-private coaching call every single day. Go to PremierCoaching.com. Go to PremierCoaching.com to join right now, or scroll down below and click the link below. Have a fantastic day. We'll talk with you on the show tomorrow.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.